Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice on this wonderful Sunday afternoon. I know there's so many things going on. There's graduations, there's, of course, people sheltering in place, and there's all kinds of government making rules that nobody knows what's going on, and the rules are coming from above and below. I know that our former President Obama made a statement the last couple of days saying that this is so many people in charge don't know what they're doing. He said that at a graduation ceremony. It seems to be very confusing all over, and everyone has a different idea of what's going on or how it affects them or their state or cities or wherever they go. So what I want to do today is welcome the panelists. We got four on. We won't have Darius or Spencer because they're out. Darius is doing a graduation for his daughter. But to talk to the panelists, and I want you to give us a short scenario on how you feel about this pandemic, and if you think it's successful. Do you think that opening places should happen? Do you think sheltering in place should be extended? Or just give us an idea of how you're feeling about this. Bruce, why don't you start us off? Because I know you're in Michigan. Panelists, when you come on, say where you are so people will kind of know where you are. But what are you feeling about this?
Well, you're right about you asked how successful the coronavirus is. It's unfortunately very successful. Last rumor is throughout many parts of the United States. I'm in Michigan. I'm in one of the hot spots. And between things going on here with sheltering in place and trying to follow the rules and regulations, and then our governor and other groups that keep stirring the pot, it's not going real well up here. It could go a lot better, but I think deep down, both sides probably think they're doing the right thing, but the thing I keep falling back on is we've got to find a way at some point here, and maybe that point is now, where we start bringing our society and our economy back to life. And the thing I've noticed a lot, even in this state, is the moment you say that, it's, you want to kill people, and it's a complete on or off. It shouldn't be an on or off switch, as you heard some people say. It should be maybe a rheostat, come on gradually, step by step. But the fact that we've had a number of uneven kind of categories open compared to others that don't make any sense that are staying closed tells me that the state government and the people they represent, the factions they represent, are not talking. Surprise, surprise. Just like on the federal level. So that's become a real problem here. Michigan has already had four different shows of enthusiasm, we'll call it, at the state capitol, most of it based on the coronavirus. And three of them, actually. A fourth one is going to happen this coming Wednesday. Some of you heard about the salon lady and the barber. I think it was a barber in Minnesota and a salon lady in Texas. And now we've got a barber here in Michigan, in Owosso, that properly tried to, the best he could, properly open his place up, go by all the rules. And the sheriff's department came in and tried to shut him down. And he said, no, he's not going to shut down. So I don't know if they're going to do a court order or whatever. But on Wednesday, in support of that barber, They're going to have free haircuts all over the lawn of the Capitol building. You come and get a free haircut. So, Don, if you need one, you want to get out of the water, fly up back up to your old home state and get a haircut. But without taking much more time, I think the crux of it is, in any state, we have to find, particularly the hotspot ones, we have to find a way to start opening things up and letting the people, they have brains in their heads and heads on their shoulders, to figure out with the rules laid out what to do. You can't mandate it because you couldn't possibly try to dictate it. We're not that kind of a country, and they're going to have to take a risk that 95% or whatever the percentage is will do the right thing. And if they don't, we'll have to deal with that consequence. But they have to give the public a chance to show that they're big boys and girls and all grown up and can handle this. Because if they don't, then they're going to start, at least in our state, they're going to start opening things up on their own. And that's a helter-skelter plan. That's not good.
Okay, wow. Let's see, Ron, why don't you give us your thoughts on the COVID-19 epidemic and what your thoughts are?
Well, I'm here in Florida, in South Florida particularly, and which is another hot spot. In Florida, regardless of what our governor says, and I looked at the daily number of cases, we have not had what the CDC suggests, which is 2 weeks of downward number of cases before we start opening things. So the sad reality and the bottom line for me, being at risk in a high-risk group for several reasons, not just one, the sad reality for me is this whole process, the president saying one thing, governor saying, in some cases, different things, and then our local politicians even something different. I honestly don't trust any of them right now. I'm going to do what I think I need to do myself. If I have to go out, I will with a mask, I'll put gloves on. And the reality is, I don't think that our politicians, unfortunately, have my best interest or anybody's best interest in mind when it comes to health. I think everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of people are eager to get the economy up and going again, and I'm not disagreeing with that. But when I go out, and I went out, for example, today to an open-air market, and I thought, everybody would be wearing their masks, and of course I had my mask on, and for the most part, everybody, Bruce was following, whatever the guidelines are, wearing their masks. But then there were a couple of, guys in their 20s, I think, who were walking around without masks on. And I felt really uncomfortable, and I just stared at them because, the reality is that, by me wearing a mask, that's not protecting me. If they have the virus, right, and they're asymptomatic, by them not having a mask, my having a mask is not protecting me 100%, or at least that's what I've heard. The mask is mostly to protect the person wearing the mask from people. So if they're not wearing a mask and I'm wearing a mask, I'm not 100% protected. So I felt really, really uncomfortable. And by the way, I was looking at the news this morning, and if you take the U.S. and you divide it into four quadrants, the Northeast is the only quadrant in the U.S. where you can see the cases have been in a steady decline. Every other quadrant, the Southeast, the Midwest, and the West, they're either still going up in the West or, now just going into plateauing, but at a very high level. And then the South and the Midwest have been in plateau for a number of days now and are not showing any signs of going down. In fact, in Texas, which has kind of been reopened for a week, I think, the number of cases has gone up by the thousands. It's all very scary. As a former U.S. diplomat put it, we're first in the world in the number of deaths. We're first in the world in the number of infections. And right now, we're standing out as an emblem of incompetence. I mean, I was really, really studying the numbers, and I was looking at Germany in particular because they have a very low number of deaths in comparison, you know, comparing apples to apples, okay? So comparing the population and the number of people infected and the number of people dying, and they have a much, much lower number than we do here in the U.S. I'm not sure what the reasons are, but what I was reading was that, you know, their lockdown was much more strict and earlier than what than we did here in the U.S. So my last thought, you know, for centuries, well, not centuries, but for decades, you know, the world has relied on the U.S. as a leader, you know, when it comes to disasters, whether you're talking about a tsunami or Ebola outbreak or what have you, and that's been a truism for decades. But now in this crisis, guess what? The world is no longer looking at the U.S. as a leader. We can't hardly even take care of ourselves. I mean, you go to the grocery store, the meat departments are almost empty. There's rationing on meats. I mean, what is going on?
All right. Wow. Okay, Don, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking about this pandemic?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to absorb what's happening. It's really, Ron, you said the word incompetence. It's just incompetence to its highest degree. I've never seen anything like this. You know, our current administration was not prepared for this. They were not prepared at all. They knew about it in January. And they went into total denial, and he was brought aware of it while he was out down here in Mar-a-Lago playing golf. You know, and the past administration, they left a complete plan as to how to deal with this situation and how to deal with it effectively. And he dismantled the entire organization in 2 years ago, just got rid of all of them. And it's, I mean, so here we are. We can't change the past. All we can do is just plan for today. Today is cash and tomorrow's the future. Yesterday is a bad check. And, you know, Moscow Mitch even admitted that the Obama administration left a complete plan that they didn't adhere to. And that was strange to have him eat a humble pie and admit something like that with the Obama administration. I mean, I didn't expect that to come out of his mouth, but the truth will live forever. You know, we've had 90,000 deaths in the nation. And here locally, we've had 2,000 in South Florida alone, Ron, 2,000 deaths. I was looking at the numbers in Dade County. By the way, I'm in South Florida as well. Ron, where you are in Dade County, 561 deaths. I'm in Broward County, Fort Lauderdale, 279 deaths. And where the president makes his winter White House, Mar-a-Lago, Palm Beach, 275 deaths. This is a hot spot. This is definitely a hot spot. And locally, it's on fire. Our governor, Ron DeSantis, he's a true believer in Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, you get it open by any means necessary. So Monday, tomorrow, South Florida will be open. And the president looked us straight in the eye and says, look, we're open for business. We're open for business. This is important. We're open for business. You know, disregarding health, health is not an issue. You know, here we are, businesses closing, small businesses, some of them won't even open back up again. One out of every three babies are hungry, people in the food lines. You should come down to South Florida and see the people in food lines. It's amazing. Miles and miles of people in cars lined up to get food on a daily basis. Never seen nothing like it in my life. Unemployment. It's the highest since 1929. People need jobs. You know, and also this virus is affecting people of color more so than any other, health-wise and economic-wise. I tell you, it's a mess. Here we are, you know, the number one country in the world. He inherited a strong economy. He just had to build up on it. And, you know, and now here we are headed for depression or recession. This is what you call incompetence. No plan. And now we got to open up tomorrow here in South Florida by any means necessary. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my mask on. I'm going to stay away from people. And I'm going to take care of Don because I can't afford to die.
Wow. All right. So, Jeremiah, I see you're on the line. Tell us what your thoughts are on this COVID-19 and how you feel about it, what's going on in terms of social distancing and of shelter in place and all that. What are your thoughts?
Much has been said, but I totally agree with Don. First, we have to be responsible for ourselves, and we have a lot of people around the U.S. are not being responsible for themselves and helping each other out by being responsible for yourself. First things first, you know, keep yourself safe for you and your family, your kids, your loved ones. And then kudos to the heroes out there as far as essential workers that are working. But it's really hard to take a side because I don't think we should be opening up as far as we are. I think it should be at least a few more weeks, at least, to see the numbers go down at a better downward spiral and stay down, because the numbers are just fluctuating more than so, up and down. So, but I just, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have jobs. There's a lot of people that has lost their business. A lot of restaurants. I don't know if you've ever been to the South Florida, even Jacksonville area. There's a restaurant called Metro Diner. They've lost all of their restaurants south of Jacksonville, Florida. So, you know, everybody's taking a hit. But I just think we just need to make good decisions as far as our government and you know, people making good decisions every day as far as being safe and wearing a proper mask, because I see that a lot as well. You know, even if we can't afford, for the people out there that can't afford masks, I've seen homeless people giving masks and food and things like that. So let's just remain safe. You know, everything is in someone else's hands as far as reopening and what they think is best for the country. So we can't do much about that.
All right, guys. Good conversation. But I have a question. One of the things in all of this is that child abuse cases are down. Now, they're saying this could be good or could be bad. The fact that child abuse cases are down, and they're saying it's because the kids not going to school or anything, and so there's nobody reporting on this. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because sometimes I'm concerned that all the social workers that we have and stuff are always keep their jobs, taking kids away from families and giving them to other families and things like that. That is just, I think, had got over and above. But now that they're saying that this child is down, do you think that is a good thing, Bruce? I mean, of course it's a good thing, but I mean, do you think that it is because nobody's reporting it, kids aren't reporting it or anything?
Well, on the youth aspect of how coronavirus is affecting them, we're still on a learning curve. First of all, we thought it wasn't going to affect them at all. Then we thought it was going to affect them maybe a little bit, you know, here and there. Now they're concerned. The latest I've heard and read is in some other forms it's affecting them. You know, maybe they don't call it what we call the coronavirus 19, but they're getting very worrisome effects off of this. At least that's where I think it's coming from. So with the youth, I think we're learning. I don't, if you ask me, you think it's going to be as tough as it is for the more vulnerable group, like my age group and people with immune deficiencies and stuff like that. No, I don't. But I still don't think we know the length and the breadth of how it's going to affect the youth. I think we're still on a learning curve on them.
All right. One of the things that happened down in Florida, you guys, is that the Florida health system found that 25,000 of their coronavirus tests were unreliable because they came back negative. Come to find out, the people did have, there were some that did have it. So they have, you have 25,000 people who took a test, and now they're saying that that 25,000 cannot be counted because the test, the results were unreliable. So I know your numbers are big down there, but it looks like there might be bigger numbers. Were you aware of that, Don?
Yeah, yes, I was, David. And the thing is, we finally got it set up where the National Guard and the Urban League were doing testing in underserved communities. And these people were walking to get the test. They didn't have cars, but they were walking. And a disproportionate amount of them, they took the test, and the damn test didn't work. That's a shame. And then what makes it so bad on the national level is whenever a major disease broke out, like AIDS or Ebola, the CDC was speaking for us, the people. Now, the CDC has a muzzle on their mouth. I mean, what's up with that? You're right here in Atlanta. What's up with that?
You know, one of the things that's happening, and we need to keep an eye on it as fathers for our families, is there's always someone coming up with these drugs, these new kind of drugs. And so right now, the VA has been experimenting with malaria drugs. There was a drug for malaria called hydrochloroquine. And so they have been giving their veterans this drug, veterans who have coronavirus. But it has not been proven to help. So that's our federal government taking our military guys and experimenting with them on a malaria drug that no one has said even works. Why? What's your thoughts on that, Ron? I mean, come on now. What are your thoughts on that?
I remember they needed to find out some tests on some people when we had syphilis, and they used a group of people to test on. And now they just have a larger base of people. And the thing is, they're going to test these drugs out that have not gone through the proper channels. And he promised that we'll have a cure by the first of the year. But you're going to test these drugs out on people to see if they work. Oh, come on, man. I mean, they're not shooting anything in bomb, I tell you that.
But they're not even asking for permission. They're just giving them these pills and telling them to take these. Huh.
Well, he just wants to give us a promissory note to get past the election. The election is in November, and we'll have a cure by January. I was born at night, but not last night.
Ron, what are your
that pill, by the way, David, hydroxychloroquine, has been shown to, when given to people that have heart problems, to actually have a very adverse effect on people that have heart issues. So, you know, that drug, and I think Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and others have said this as well, that drug, you know, really, really should not be given as freely as some doctors are giving it right now, because it hasn't been tested. You know, yes, it worked against malaria, but there's more that can go wrong. I mean, I guess in a last case scenario, I guess it's better than nothing. But I tell you one thing, if I, God forbid, end up in the hospital, the first thing I'm going to tell them is do not give me hydroxychloroquine. And as far as the testing, that the whole testing thing, you know, we hear the president saying all the time how great it's going. It's a lie. The whole testing thing has been a fiasco from the start. It is improving. Okay, I do have to say that it is improving, but it was so discoordinated, disjointed, and you know, the fact that we did not want to use tests that Germany was using. I just read this a little while ago. Because we wanted tests that are American made, and I don't, you know, I don't know the whole political reasons behind this, but you know, again, I bring out Germany because they've had a lot less deaths in comparison than we have, comparing apples to apples. But you know, the tests, the Abbott tests that the White House is using, have been shown to sometimes not be accurate. So, you know, we've got a long ways to go. A very small percentage, I forget what it is, but I think it's less than 5% of all Americans have been tested. That's insignificant. I mean, and I want to know, you know, when I go out, I want to know what I'm dealing with. And right now with 5% of the population or less being tested, I have no idea what I'm dealing with.
You know, one of the issues I think that our government has is even a politician, a governor or mayor or something, comes out and makes a ruling, they can go to the court and the judges then the ruling. For example, in North Carolina, the governor Cooper there was limiting indoor religious services because of coronavirus. A judge then blocks his decree and said, you know, that don't worry about that. We don't have to follow that rule. So, you know, we're really kind of screwed up right now, and nobody is really having things going the correct way. It just seems all kind of people are making decisions, and there's nobody that the government is following to the T. What are your thoughts on that, Bruce?
Well, I've been listening to a lot of this, and it's I just find it amazing. You guys, this is supposed to be run with the aid of the federal government as a supplier, and we can debate on whether the supply has been good enough or not. Probably hasn't in certain categories, but it's supposed to be run by the states, and I like that approach because the states, not the federal government, are on the front line and know what's much closer on what's going on in their own community, their state and their residents in that state. So, you know, this fact that the federal government isn't doing this, isn't doing that, they're not supposed to. And when they originally suggested to do it that way, they said, oh, no, you're not going to take it over. We know what's going on in the states. We, the state governments, will handle it. And they said, okay, fine, then handle it. So, you know, all this now all of a sudden is because it's not going so well in some places. It's going great in other places that they want to blame it all on the federal government. And there again, you're never going to know. If we wait and keep this economy closed until everybody has been, let's just say everybody was tested once, we don't even care what the results are or anything, that will be an ungodly amount of time. And number two, even if 90% of the people tested negative or no problem, that doesn't mean the next day they couldn't be exposed somewhere. So you're never going to have the answer, the absolute answer you want to open up the economy. It's not going to happen. No matter how many tests, how much equipment, no matter how fast it's distributed, it's not going to happen. So my point is, at some point in this situation, we have to pop our heads up above the ground and start in an effective, I heard several of you say it, and I agree, in an effective and the best way possible to do things in the way that protects you and your personal space the best way you know how. I think Don said that, and I agree with that. But you don't do, and if your choice is, I'm going to stay sequestered in my house for the next 3 months first, fine, that's your choice. But if someone else says, I want to go to a restaurant or I need some elective surgery that really isn't elective for me done, I'm going to weigh the consequences and the gambles, and I'm going to make the choice. Not the federal government, not the state government, but I have to. That is really the only way this is ever going to work. It's not going to work any other way.
Bruce, I'm not disagreeing. My question to you is the following. Okay, because this is going to happen to me, so I'm using me as an example. In June sometime, I'm going to have to report back to the office. You know, I am hesitant, but I will do it because everybody in the office will be wearing masks, it'll be mandated, et cetera. But what happens outside of the office? What happens, I mean, I may not go out to the grocery store or wherever, but one of my colleagues will, and they'll go to a place where somebody's not wearing a mask, like happened to me today. And what if they're infected? Because, you know, the virus isn't just going to disappear. The virus is going to be around for a long time. And then they come back to the office, I mean, let's face it. Nobody's going to be wearing a mask the whole 8, 9, 10 hours that's in the office. You're going to take it off to eat. You're going to, you know. There's going to be possibilities for cross-contamination. I know that, you know, there's not – I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, my neighbor maybe nailed it right on the head. She said, you know, Ron, there's no way to escape this. I guess eventually we're just going to have to live with it, and if we get it, we get it, and if we don't, we're lucky.
Yeah, and if your question is how do I deal with that situation, if I were you and I'm in the same – age, even older than you are. I'm almost as old or older than Don, and we know how old he is. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
but, oh my God. But Ron, in all seriousness, I would have to, if I was going into that, first of all, the work environment, I would have to size it up the first day, personally size it up, and decide whether, you know, you might not be in a position where you can say, I'm not coming to work, so if you're going to force me to, fire me. Very few of us are in that position. But you're going to have to weigh the pros and the cons and either try to affect change in the office if you don't think it's safe enough or something on a personal level. Also, your scenario about, well, I don't know if this person has been practicing a safe environment as well as I have. You're never going to know that, Ron. Never. Even if you went around and polled them and say, have you? Oh, yes, I have. Well, here, take this test. I mean, you're never going to know. And that is very scary for me, too. And anybody that, even if you're not in a compromised category. So at some point, we're going to have to, again, I'll fall back on what Don said, do the best we can with our own personal protection, whether that's decision-making, mask wearing, glove wearing. I wear gloves and masks when I go out. I don't wear just a mask. I wear gloves, too. And when I go, if I go to a store, I do see what you see: people without gloves, without masks, even though the store says you must wear them. And I just kind of turn and go the other way. I avoid them and get what I want and get out. So I think for a period of time, whether it's a year, 6 months, hopefully not more than a year, but some period of time, extended time, that's the way, that's the only way we're really going to find out what this co-virus is going to do. You're not going to get absolutes, Ron. You won't. It's impossible.
I totally concur with what I'm hearing, and what we're dealing with is something that we can't control. We can't control the past that's already been mandated. They say that wearing masks and wearing gloves and social distancing will help. I don't even know if that's true.
How do we know that?
And then here we are worried about our health. To me, that's number one, because if I'm not living, I can't make any decision. If I'm 6 feet under, who cares? But the thing is, my health is important, and then economics is important. And tomorrow, the Senate and the President got a vote on a bill for $3 million or $3 trillion to help the economy. And we got police departments down here being laid off because the city and the state can't pay the bill. Now, at first he said, I got control of this. And then he said, okay, the states, the governors got control. Well, guess what? The money's ran out. Due to this pandemic, the money's ran out.
In some cases, Miramar.
Well, I'm telling you what's happening down here, bro.
In
Miramar, Florida, tomorrow, the mayor had to lay off a third of the police department. And that's what's happening in New York. That's what's happening in other states, even in Michigan. And I bet you tomorrow they'll turn that down. Tomorrow they will turn that thing down, although it's all about money. But the thing is, they'd rather people die and we go through situations like this than spend the money. Heads the bet that we're going to get a cure and it's going to go away and it's only a hoax. Give up the money.
If the two parties would get together on a bill that really focuses in on what's needed, I think it would pass. But neither one of them can seem to do that. There's too many things that shouldn't be addressed now that they're trying to address in a bill. And until they stop playing those games, which you and I and everybody else wish they would, it's not going to happen. And part of your best health is if you're of working age and you become unemployed and then your job or your own company dies and you have no income, there is no way in blue blazes that the federal government can providing us salary by printing money and none of us working for what, a year, 2 years? That's unrealistic. There are too many. So I agree with you on the health concern, but there's multifacets to what makes you feel like and be a healthy person, not just staying at home. And for a lot of people, that's driving them crazy. For some that are of retirement age, maybe it's not financially as critical, but most people it is. And you don't think that wears on them and their family? It absolutely does. I've seen it. I've talked to people that are desperate that I didn't even think they were in that bad a shape. And they said, Bruce, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I don't want to go out unless I have to, but part of my providing health for my family is being able to survive. And the financial part of it is part of that survival.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Bruce. We need to take care of those people. Because if we don't take care of them now, we will take care of them in the future. There are women that haven't got a mammogram in 2 or 3 months.
Oh, yeah, and cancer operations. All kinds of stuff.
You know, and the thing is, we shouldn't let money be the issue at this point. If that's the case, let's not let money be the issue. I mean, when I know when President Barack Obama was in office, every other day it was, hey, the deficit is getting too high. We're going to have to take the deficit down. Well, guess what? We've blown the deficit out of the water now. He took care of his
government. Yeah, we sure did.
Last year.
Why
did he give some of that money back?
Me too. Biggest jump in history.
Yeah. So I mean, watch and see tomorrow, don't they? Oh, well, why don't we just wait a while? We can't give up that kind of money because we got to find out how these late unemployment checks came and the PPP money. Let's figure out how that worked out. And the businesses are going out of business. Some people didn't even get PPP money. You know, which brings the point. I love my brother Magic Johnson, man. I love my brother Magic Johnson. Man, Magic Johnson just committed, along with Rafael Martinez, $100 million for small businesses. That's the private sector kicking in.
Yeah, and the only way, Don, he's able to do that, and I commend him for it too, he's a great person, is because he has the financial ability to do that. He didn't pull it out of the sky. He didn't go to the federal treasury and say, print me $100 million so I can give it out. He had it. He has it.
Well, see,
terrific.
Bruce, he had compassion.
He was
one of those small businessmen.
Absolutely. You're making my case. We need to find that balance of getting the businesses, the economy, the lifeblood of our country flowing again. And I don't profess to know all the answers, and it's not a on-off. It's an off, come hither slowly is the approach I think it's probably going to have to be. But we got to start that, Don. We can't just keep printing money. That's not going to work that way.
Okay. Now, can you tell the mayor of Miramar what you just said to me? And he's faced with having to lay off city employees and the police department.
Yeah, that's not good. It's not good at all. But there's always going to be genuine need, always. There was when we were at the height of our economy. It just wasn't as obviously as severe as it is now. But there's that need in one form or another is always going to be there. So is the answer from now on, I don't think you think it is, and neither do I, that you all stay home. We don't really know when you'll be able to come out again other than, you know, to get the essentials. And we'll just keep sending you checks to live on. That's not realistic. And even Pelosi said this bill that she put together without any guidance of anybody herself, she even said recently, she says, I don't expect it to pass. It's something to start with. It's a wish list to start with. She even said that herself. So, you know, they're not being realistic or reasonable or doing their job on either side of the coin. Neither side. That it's got to be the two of them together. And neither side is doing a good job of that right now.
Yeah, you know, the political climate in America has been a wake-up call. And I think people got the message that we got to really look at who we elect, and I hope everybody votes, because it'll get a good indication of what the real issues are in America now.
Yeah,
all right,
I agree with that too.
All right, gentlemen.
Isn't it sad?
We got like 15 minutes left in the show, but I want to get out of the coronavirus piece right now because I think we'll be talking about it for quite a while and talk about something else, something that I really hate to have to talk about because I feel that it doesn't really
affect
anybody on this panel because I know all the people I know, but the Ahmaud Arbery case, the young man who was jogging and got killed. I thought when I was growing up that eventually this discrimination or thing would go away. You know, we would all get together eventually. And I thought I saw it moving that way, but it looks like it completely flipped. Because it came out in the news today was the gentleman, the father and son who got arrested. Well, now their lawyer is saying that the film that we're using to convict them by was taken by the father who was standing in the back of the truck filming the piece, and he brought it to the attorneys, their attorney's office, and the attorney was the one who told them how to get it to the news. But in the video that we're looking at, isn't the father and the son doing it? So
he's in the video.
He couldn't have taken that. He couldn't have taken that.
Well, it's in the news. It's pulling up right now. The attorney for them is saying that he took it and gave it to the attorney, and the attorney was – and he was trying to – the reason that he gave it to the attorney was so that people would not think that, you know, he was trying to discrimination in his neighborhood. They're trying to flip it totally around. But I bring this up because several things have happened just recently. I mean, people came. There was another case where in a home where and it all have to do with police officers or people that are hired to protect us came to someone's house and gave them a hard time. So it just seems really that something's going on, and we all half the world is saying, well, half the world, a lot of people are saying it's because of the president and the way that he put things out there, make people feel comfortable doing these things. And I thought it was easing up, but I do see it coming back. Bruce, do you see these things popping up more? Do you think it's because there was this on Facebook said that the reason everyone is upset isn't because of what happened, it's because we saw what happened because the film came out. If we didn't know that the film didn't come out, we would have never known anything. What do you feel?
From what I see and the variety of the plethora of friends that I've had over the years of every shape, color, nationality you can name, using that as a base, I can't necessarily say it's getting worse, but it should have as we progress along. It's not good enough to stay whatever it was. It should be getting better, and all of us more tolerant of each other. And if you don't particularly like a group of people or a particular person that you have been in contact with, you avoid them. You don't take the action like that. That's not the right way to do it. I mean, I get the sense that some of these cases are becoming more heinous, not necessarily in number, but in act. And whether they're bad or not, all of them are bad. I mean, if this young man's life was taken because he was jogging down the road, which it looks like to me that's what he was doing. That's wrong, plain wrong. That's what is that, murder? I guess so, based on what we see there. And if it's not murder, prove that it's something else. But that's done then in a court of law and not on the street. And as you said, if the father said he took the video, what was he doing, flying a drone while he was looking not at it? I mean, that's ridiculous. I also heard that there's another video somewhere floating around. Did you hear that?
Yeah, but I think the other video is this video because the lawyers are saying that that the video got everyone thinking the wrong thing, that what they were saying was this video is the video that they were talking about the other video. My understanding.
You know, I guess a better way to handle something is, I mean, if someone's in your area and you don't expect them to be there, and I'm not talking about race, I'm just in general, and they look like they're doing something suspicious, you question them, and that's it. And then if you feel you have to report something to somebody, you report it. That's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's vigilance of your, you know, we have neighborhood watches all over the place. I have one here. And I've on occasion seen that and called the local officials and so forth. And that's the end of it. But this is wrong.
Let me ask this question.
Yes.
This happened in February. We're in May. This is May. This happened in February. If it would have been Don Wiggins and his cousin that shot a white man, I would have first been arrested, and then bond would have maybe been posted, and then you would have heard about it in February.
I say, honestly, if you would have shot anybody, because it happens where it's race on race crime, someone would have possibly been arrested already.
Oh, no doubt.
But we're only just now hearing about it because the tape just came out. If it wasn't for the tape, we would have never heard about it.
What was the tape all this time? Do they even know that? Somebody does.
You know what? I would like to say something about this. You know what helped this you know, I'll call him the subject now because he's been arrested. But what has helped this subject is that he knows he used to be some kind of law enforcement official, whether it was for the state or local police department. He knows people. He knows how to articulate himself, right? He knows how to articulate himself based on what occurred, what needs to be said, what he needs to say that the deceased now gentleman did. He told his son what to say by script. So that's how things got so delayed. And then the people that were supposed to be finding out the truth were working with him to understand him and respect him because of his previous position. That's what they let happen. And then let's go to the video. The video where, you know, if you watch the video, I would see someone jogging. I wouldn't see someone running away from a scene or something like that. For two, even if they tried to stop the young man or ask him a question, you got to think that people usually work out now with headphones. Right? So let's just say he's trying to make a citizen's arrest. Okay, citizen's arrest. Now, why would one of the guys be on top of the truck with a shotgun? That's not properly confronting someone. If you're trained to assist your community with citizen's arrest, just interacting with people that might be doing a wrong thing, that don't sound right to me. You know what I mean? And then it took how many seconds for a gun to go off? I didn't see a gun. And going back to the guy jogging, we saw him jogging with nothing. Now, if you saw a piece of metal object in his hand, looked like it comes from an AC out of a vacant home, some piping, some something, maybe you have probable cause, which police departments call PC, probable cause to do something. But, you know, I think he reverted back to his training or reverted back to his instincts he developed working in the law enforcement field. But unfortunately, this isn't the case where he should have reverted back to his training or knowledge of training. You know, he was too aggressive.
Well,
Even if he tried to stop the gentleman, and the guy, Mr. Arbery, didn't stop and listen to him, it's not up to you to make contact and try to slam him. For example, if this is a situation where he saw Mr. Arbery fighting with a young lady, and he was beating a young lady to, you know, almost to death or something like that. Now you could come in and get physical. It allows you to come in and get physical with a person, but you can't get physical with a person that's running, nothing in his hand. He might be working out. I mean,
that's what
I'm in South Florida. People work out every day. especially with the with COVID going on. You know, you can't go to the gym, so people are running. People run every day, you know. So yeah, that's my whole spill on that. It's just crazy, you know.
Well, then Jeremiah, something came up about. There's a house being built down the road, and he was in there looking around. Well, I saw a video. There were a bunch of people in there looking around, and a few people took drinks of water. And so he was one of a number of people that did the same thing. So that doesn't hold any water either.
You know what's the number one problem for most humans? Being nosy and being curious. So guess what?
Yeah.
He was being nosy and being curious. Whether he was 10 years old or 44 years old, that's called being nosy and curious. It's up to the police to determine if he's trespassing, citizen.
You're absolutely right, because I was told that he was about to be married, and a young man like himself, he was probably looking and saying, man, I get married, maybe I can afford to do something like this for my wife. And he looked at the pipes, and he looked at the wood, and then he walked away and continued running. Man, God, he was dreaming.
Let me use an example as well. Sometimes, me being a young adult, I used to go to the dealership. They're probably closed or a little bit after hours. But guess what? You just drove by. It's that excitement of seeing something like, oh, that's that nice Chevy Camaro that I wanted.
Yeah.
The dealership
was
closed, but I still walked in. Not supposed to, but you're like, I'm just going to go take a look at it for 5 minutes and get up out of here.
Dream.
And guess what? You go in, and then now you have a person that's so gung-ho, or whatever you want to call this guy, you know, he thinks he's Hero America, and he wants to stop somebody and kill him. Because if you're resisting, you're not a police officer. I can resist anybody I want to. You're not an official. You're not a law enforcement officer.
Right.
So, you know,
but
this very important.
General, yeah,
I guess
yeah, it is.
My thoughts on this, though, is that it seems things are going backwards. It seems that we're going back to a period of time that I thought we had at least had some progress in, but it looks like a possibility that. Do you feel things are going backwards, or that things are staying the same? Do you think this was always there like this, Jeremiah, or do you think that possibly? Because of our administration, that I don't think that they can do these kinds of things.
I disagree with the administration part. I mean, regardless of who we have at president, mayor, senator, these things are going to happen, honestly. I just think it's our population, it's our people. They have ways and biased ways embedded in them for years. So regardless of, you know, they might not – show action, but when they get that time and opportunity to show action like this gentleman did, the subject did, they're going to do something.
So I think
this is going to continue to happen. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think this is going to continue to happen time after time. I'm pretty sure it's happened more than just this gentleman's situation. It's just what we hear about. It's just so many people raised for something to happen. People, you know, protested, people were on social media. That's the only reason why something came up out of this situation.
So, but your comment is you still feel that the United States still has the wild, wild west mentality, and we haven't gotten any better. Because what you're saying is these things happen because it was going to happen anyway. Well, but it used to happen like this. I thought we got better, but you're saying we never did.
I don't think we ever did. And another side to that story is even in prosecuting, when a lot of minorities go to jail, whether it's Latino, Black, they're giving those guys more of a punishment than other race, white race to be exact, you know? So I've seen it along the boards, and they've seen where prosecutors judge for different states were doing this, and it's a fact.
Wow. Okay, what do you you got about 30 seconds left. Sorry, but I want to thank the panel.
David.
And yes, sir.
David, can
yes, sir.
If I may, can I end this
in prayer.
Yes, please do.
Thank you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is so befitting to what we've been talking about for the past hour on a man's voice. The scripture says, if my people, this is God speaking, saying, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then they shall hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. That's exactly what we need to hear right now.
All right. Thank you for that. But, Don, you were supposed to call me back. But anyway, I will talk to everyone again next week.
Have a good week, guys.
Yeah. No, you called me back. You were supposed to call me back.
No.
Stay healthy. No arguing. No arguing, children. No arguing.
Just remember, guys, it's all about the you.
That's right.